Thanks for listening to the Get Over Yourself podcast, brought to you by Carol Fit Stationary Bike Program, 8-minute workouts to get super fit. Perfect Keto, the cleanest, highest potency ketone supplements. MOFO, male optimization formula with organs to boost testosterone. Let's get checked at home testing kits. Try LGC.com. Almost Heaven, beautiful compact home use sauna kits. Brad's macadamia masterpiece, the mind-blowing nut butter blend. And check out bradkearns.com/shop, my personal selection of favorite products for health, fitness, and peak performance. And here we go with the show.
Just eat stuff that your great-grandmother could have eaten and stay away from the stuff that didn't exist even back a few generations. You can choose from your favorites in this list of meat, fish, fowl, eggs, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds, and certain modern foods that have good health benefits and little to no objections. We are in our best functionality when we're fasted. Therefore, after these tough workouts, perhaps we could try fasting as a legitimate recovery strategy when we're always socialized to think the opposite, that we gotta slam those calories back so we can recover quickly.
MOFO mission assignment number 3, eat ancestral foods. Assignment number 2, cleaning up your act in so many ways with your relationships, your food, your foreign substances. But we started with getting rid of those toxic sugars, grains, and industrial seed oils. And so now you get to replace them with the ancestral inspired list of approved foods. And of course, there's a lot of room for personal preference, but we want you to emphasize those nose to tail animal foods that are the most nutrient dense foods on the planet and fueled human evolution for 2 million years. And also, of course, the fresh produce, nuts, and seeds, and making a good effort to load up on superfoods like liver, pastured eggs, grass-fed, pasture-raised meats, and oily cold water fish. Okay, here we go. So of course, the first assignment is to make some space in the ball game for the good stuff. So ditching those grains, sugars, sweetened drinks, industrial seed oils, as I talked about in the last assignment, the best approach is to establish a zero tolerance policy because of their addictive properties. So for the first 3 weeks of your transition, you got to get these things all the way out of your diet. There's no room for little tiptoes here and there, back to the grains and the sugars. Okay. And probably if you're listening, you're doing a good job already. You're not just throwing down junk food, standard American diet. So we can also include in this objective getting rid of the lower ranked foods in the various ancestral categories that you may already be emphasizing. So we want to transition away from those feedlot animals, those concentrated animal feeding operation products that have so many objections to health and environment and universally are recognized as vastly inferior to a sustainably raised, naturally raised animal. And in the old days, that was kind of tough. You had to go looking for a source of pastured eggs or grass-fed meats. But today, oh my gosh, it's easier than ever. The lines of pastured eggs like Vital Farms, you can see those in grocery chains all over the country. Of course, all the local brands, even better. And then sourcing grass-fed, pasture-raised meat and fish, wild-caught fish, you can find that on the internet if your local environment is deficient. So no excuses. Go find the good stuff. Yes, it's going to have a increase budget impact from eating the conventional foods, but this is the highest priority to source cleanliness, that is the animal foods, because they have the concentration of the toxins and the adverse agents when you're talking about conventionally raised animals. So yes, you're going to be budgeting a little more for the good meats and stuff, but overall, as you transition over to an ancestral way of eating, you're going to require fewer calories. You're going to be cutting out the hideously expensive processed foods and sweetened beverages and things that add up to a huge budget impact and make sourcing the best food a no-brainer. It's almost, people have written in saying it's a wash when they switch over to a healthy, clean diet because they're getting rid of all the junk and the snacks and the $4 energy bars and the $5 exotic drinks from Starbucks. Okay, so we want to have a zero tolerance policy to ditch the bad stuff. And then the other thing that you can start integrating is to emphasize fasting as a centerpiece of your diet rather than regular meals and snacks. So getting away from this obsessive overfeeding that represents the essence of the standard American diet, the high carbohydrate, carbohydrate dependency eating patterns requires these regular meals and regular snacks to sustain energy because your primary fuel source is external ingested calories, largely carbohydrate, creating a lot of that percentage of your total caloric intake. So when we can get rid of the refined foods, get rid of the habit of obsessive overfeeding and start exploring the wonderful benefits of fasting. One current strategy, obviously I've been doing this for many years, have a lot of metabolic flexibility, so I can play around with different things. But one that might appeal to everyone, whatever level you're at, is to just chill out a little bit and not shop so frequently and obsessively to constantly keep stocked with all these wonderful, delicious, healthy foods. Yes, if you look at my shopping basket or my refrigerator, all kinds of good stuff, little to no objections or anything that's, you know, subpar. However, the constantly going to the store and making a meal on cue, once you get that metabolic flexibility, you can explore the ideas of just skipping dinner here and there, not eating till 2 p.m. or 2:30 if you're busy. And all that's okay. It's all really good for you to have fasting as the centerpiece of your diet, especially if you're traveling or you're away from good choices. We don't want to be, you know, traipsing through airports looking for something decent that's super expensive just because it's time to eat. You can get really good at just skipping meals. Okay, then when it's time to eat, you choose from the ancestral list, the foods that have fueled human evolution. And of course, personal preference is in play here. So if you dislike sardines, or you've chosen to go whole foods plant-based and stay away from animal products, we're going to have a long talk in the back room about that. But if that's your game, at least you can choose from your favorites in this list of meat, fish, fowl, eggs, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds, and certain modern foods that have good health benefits and little to no objections. So in that category, we could put organic, high-fat dairy products and bean-to-bar dark chocolate. So once you are free from carbohydrate dependency and the nutrient-deficient processed foods of the modern diet, and you are in the ancestral scene and figuring out the best mix, you can test out some refined strategies to try to achieve further benefits. But there's so much controversy and confusion these days about keto. Is it good or bad? Is it good for you? Is it bad for you? Does it work for women too? What about fasting? Is it dangerous if you're a certain category? So all these things, you have to experiment, trial and error, do things that make you feel good, but stay away from overemphasizing the importance of the particulars of your diet. If you're eating cleanly, like Dr. Peter Attia said on the very first Get Over Yourself podcast, just eat stuff that your great-grandmother could have eaten and stay away from the stuff that didn't exist, even back a few generations. Forget about the Paleolithic ancestors for a moment. So if you're interested in trying out the refined strategies like keto or carnivore, boy, oh boy, you could have some amazing further gains to be made. That said, just getting the basics down is where we should all focus. And if we don't have those basics down, and if sugar is leaking into the picture now and then, and refined industrial seed oils are still present in your restaurant orders or even in your cupboard, that's where we have to put all of our focus before we fool around with something like carnivore, keto, and so forth. But a little plug for carnivore here. It's amazing to see the emergence of this movement in such a short time. And so it's showing tremendous promise, tremendous results for people that have nagging autoimmune or inflammatory conditions that are unknowingly highly sensitive to the antigens or the anti-nutrients contained in plants. So we know from the gluten problem that's prominent now that everyone is aware of, that these lectins that are contained in plants, gluten is a form of lectin, can easily damage the delicate brush borders in the small intestine and create this condition called leaky gut syndrome. If we talked about this 10 years ago, most doctors would have no idea what I was talking about. Most people entirely unaware of this whole important world of the gut microbiome and how critical it is to all matter of health, including mental health. There's a huge gut-brain connection. There's many, many experts you can go source with books and podcast episodes talking about how important it is to have gut health. And this leaky gut syndrome is extremely prevalent because we are tearing apart our delicate intestinal tract with these highly offensive foods that cause an inflammatory reaction. So well known the dangers of gluten, especially for someone who's got diagnosed celiac disease or high gluten sensitivity. But the ancestral argument, Mark Sisson, one of the first people to advance this, that we're all intolerant to gluten at some level, and of course, other lectins as well. When you think about the side effects of consuming popular plant foods, we oftentimes get gas, bloating when we're consuming things in the legume family, or if you have a giant smoothie packed with super nutritious raw plant matter like your kale, celery, spinach blend, and then you get a bloated stomach and some transient abdominal pain in the hours afterward, that's because of these anti-nutrients that are contained in all plants. These are the natural defense mechanisms of the plants to ward off garden pests, and these can do damage to the human, especially if you're sensitive. So whether or not carnivore is something you should try, I would suggest that if you do have any nagging autoimmune or inflammatory conditions, a restrictive diet could be extremely valuable, certainly nothing to lose. And boy, then if you define or discover your intolerance to certain things like raw kale, you can adjust accordingly. So for that, I'm going to give a huge plug to trying things out, especially if you're trying to drop excess body fat. You go into a carnivore eating pattern, you're getting a lot of protein, you're getting a healthy amount of fat as well, so it's highly satiating, and it's almost zero carbohydrate, so it's going to lower insulin and kickstart fat burning. So the wonderful benefits to be had are possible healing from inflammatory or autoimmune conditions, easy reduction of excess body fat, and then you can kind of align into a sustainable long-term pattern, whatever that looks like for you. The term carnivore-ish is being bantered around, and I feel like that describes my approach really well because I emphasize the most nutritious foods on the planet from the animal kingdom, especially the superfoods. I'm doing a much better job getting my liver game on and getting those other organ meats into the mix, as well as aggressive supplementation, because obviously I could always find more organ meats to consume, but not always there every single day in the diet, but sourcing those pasture-raised eggs, the wild-caught fish, the sardines, the true super nutrition superstars. Okay, so there's a little summary of how you're going to transition over to ancestral eating and play around with some more distinct strategies if you are interested. Fasting, though, fasting being the centerpiece, what a concept. Mark Sisson and I just finished a new book called Two Meals a Day. It's the simplest diet book to end all diet books. Just quit eating so much food so often and you'll get much healthier. But when you put fasting at the centerpiece, it's great to acknowledge that you are getting the most health benefits by far, exceeding the benefits of any known superfood or dietary pattern or meal pattern. So when you're fasting, you are working at your highest human function. These important mechanisms such as autophagy, apoptosis, cell repair, cell recycling, protein repair and recycling, these things are at their highest function when you are in a fasted state, not when you drink your super fresh squeezed antioxidant bomber juice. Sorry, fasting wins again. So autophagy is the natural internal cellular detoxification process that occurs when you're in a fasted state. Apoptosis is the programmed death of diseased or dysfunctional cells. So what you're doing is you're taking care of business, you're pruning your yard before things have a chance to go further out of whack and turn cancerous. You're accessing ancient pathways of repair and renewal when you're in a fasted state. So to tiptoe into this world and discover the wonderful benefits of improving your fasting capabilities, just try to consume your first meal when, that means when hunger ensues naturally in the morning. So you're in a fasted state overnight. You can wake up and leverage the benefits of that for however many hours you can comfortably last and maintain peak cognitive function and physical function without feeling tired or loopy or goofy or craving foods. As soon as you get true sensations of hunger, you sit down and enjoy a nice meal. But many people with a basic level of metabolic flexibility can comfortably last until 12 noon, going from the previous night. So that would be 14, 15, 16 hour fasting period. So you're banking all these hours in a fasted state, enjoying these wonderful benefits, and then sitting down to a meal that you're going to have a greater appreciation for, as opposed to eating something from the moment you wake up all the way to the very end of the evening as you're watching your final shows on your series binge. Okay, so fasting is the ultimate. All aspects of hormonal, immune, and metabolic function work more efficiently when you're fasting, repairing damaged cells, firing brain neurons, controlling inflammation, burning off stored body fat. What else is happening when you're fasting is you are lowering insulin. And many experts believe that producing an optimally minimal amount of insulin over your lifetime could be the most prominent longevity factor, longevity attribute you can ever pull into the game here. Dr. Art Devaney, Dr. Peter Attia, Mark Sisson all stress this point, that trying to produce an optimally minimal amount of insulin to get the job done. Don't misunderstand, obviously, insulin's extremely important. It's a nourishing storage hormone that brings the needed nutrients, particularly glucose and amino acids, to cells and tissues throughout the body. But we are living in a state of wildly excessive and chronic insulin production. It is driving the single most prominent and most concerning disease pattern of modern times, that is metabolic syndrome. That's a collection of disease risk factors that type 2 diabetes and so forth are just crippling modern humans like never before. We're the fattest and sickest population in the history of humanity. Congratulations. And it's all traced back to producing too much insulin from a high carbohydrate dependency diet where we have dysfunctional fat metabolism. And the refined industrial seed oils get a plug here too. Even though they don't spike insulin like sugars and grains, what they do is they hamper your ability to burn fat. And Dr. Kate Shanahan, leading crusader here, you can listen to my shows where she goes into detail about the evils of these industrial fats. What they do is they mess it up so you can't burn fat, so you get tired. And when you're tired, you're hungry. And so you're going back to the carbs. Okay, so that is the plug for fasting and eating the healthy foods when it's time. But eating well also entails environmental factors, right? It's not just the right food choices, especially if you're bringing in stress factors like orthorexia, that's the unnatural fixation on eating the healthiest possible foods. If you're making it stressful to eat healthy, then you're missing the point, you're missing the boat. So eating well also entails creating a quiet, calm, low-stress environment for eating. Remember the nicknames for the two branches of the autonomic nervous system. The sympathetic is known as fight or flight, and the parasympathetic is known as rest and digest. So digestion entails a calm, relaxed state of autonomic nervous system function, parasympathetic. If you are stressed and anxious and you're wolfing down food as you rush out the door because the kids are late to school and you're late to work, you're defeating the purpose of whatever healthy nutrition you're throwing down your body at an inappropriate time. That's why it's so difficult for the athletes to suck down their sugary gels and drinks while they're pedaling a bicycle at high speed or competing in an ultra marathon. The digestive system is simply not prepared to do a good job digesting food while you're sweating and your heart's pounding. And so there's all kinds of problems associated with trying to take on onboard calories. That's why becoming a fat-adapted endurance athlete is so beneficial. So a low-stress eating environment at all times. And hey, why not make it a celebratory environment at all times. That's why we love going out to restaurants. We get away from the ringing phones or the screaming kids or whatever's going on that potentially disrupts our ability to have a celebratory environment at all time. Sometimes we're chowing down food at our desk at lunchtime because we want to be more productive. Oh my goodness, let's make eating a centerpiece of the celebration of life and do it right. And also increase your connection with the entire experience by shopping for the raw ingredients, preparing meals from scratch, having it be a great family experience rather than just ordering, pushing the button and having DoorDash deliver it. Enough of that already. Let's strive to eat well at all times. And included in that is waiting until you're truly hungry to eat a meal, rather than just reflexively sitting down and stuffing more food down your face. Fasting is the centerpiece. Fasting is key. Enjoy meals when you're truly hungry and finish when you're satisfied rather than going to the point where you feel full. Okay, so throwing those into the mix along with your good choices, and then finally making a real effort to source those superfoods that have so many nutritional benefits and can really take you to the next level. I mentioned a few, the liver and the other organ meats, pastured eggs, smash fish from the smash family, that stands for sardines, mackerel, anchovies, salmon, and herring, and sourcing that fresh local produce, the very best. If you're looking for berries, get them in the summertime from the farmer's market and pass on those overly sweetened, overly cultivated stuff that's shipped in from Chile in the wintertime, that kind of thing. So the superfoods, quoting from the PDF, The MOFO Mission, the wonderful book, says, if you're cracking a few conventional eggs and frying a few slices of nitrate-laden bacon for a so-called ancestral power breakfast, please compare and contrast to the phenomenal array of premium ingredients in a typical Liver King smoothie, Brian Johnson special. Here is one of his go-to breakfasts, breakfasts that typically happen around 3 p.m. So yeah, there go a bunch of awesome fasted hours. And then how about this smoothie? First, some fresh, raw pastured milk. That's right, raw milk, not pasteurized or homogenized, which kills all the nutritional benefits and makes it more difficult to digest. So you go find some raw milk at a local farm. Some excellent stores will have raw milk, but it's very rare. Then you throw in some raw pastured eggs. And in Brian's case, when he's talking about some eggs, he's talking about 9 or so. Why not? Some grass-fed yogurt, organic ghee or grass-fed tallow or grass-fed tallow capsules, which are now available if you can't find tallow down the street, a slob of organic almond butter, some collagen capsules, some grass-fed whey protein powder, and some Himalayan sea salt. Blend that puppy up. Actually tastes pretty good. And then you're in the realm of superfoods. So there's also a legitimate question when it comes to this ancestral style eating or the carnivore-ish pattern of the role of carbohydrates for people that are striving for peak performance, recovery. Hormone optimization is a common concern for females who are already at a healthy body fat or a low body fat. And there's a lot of controversy and personal opinion and differences among individuals when it comes to optimizing carb intake. So you have to do some experimentation, some trial and error, knowing that most of us are emanating from years and decades of wildly excessive carb intake and carbohydrate dependency, as evidenced by carrying around excess body fat despite devoted efforts to exercise and eat well. So if you're dealing with a long-term struggle with excess body fat, the most reliable approach is to first get healthy and then fast a lot and restrict your carbohydrate intake so you can burn more fat. But let's say you already at or near your ideal body composition and you're trying to figure out the best way to recover from peak performance efforts, you can definitely source the nutrient-dense colorful carbohydrates with the understanding that there's no justification ever for consuming junk food carbohydrates just because you burned up a bunch of carbs. So if you think about refueling after your awesome CrossFit workout or your long run or your long bike ride with the pleasures of the berry pie and a big scoop of sugary ice cream, that is the kind of thing that's going to delay recovery and throw on more stress factors beyond the stress of the workout. So ideally, when you finish a difficult workout, you want to recover and replenish the body with good stuff. And I know that we give around hall passes all the time in the athletic world for the massive calorie burning and then the reward of consuming massive calories in celebration. But if we can rethink that, I think we'd have a tremendous benefit. Because you see, when you're out there working out, you are generating oxidation and inflammation in the body, oxidative stress, free radicals, and also an inflammation. It's part and parcel to pushing the body and challenging the muscles. Nothing wrong with that, because in the recovery process, you rebuild stronger and more resilient. That's the adaptation process to the training stimulus, right? But if you are throwing down foods that are oxidative and inflammatory in nature, you're doing the same thing you did in the workout. You're stressing the system with the berry pie and the ice cream at the very moment that you could benefit from foods that nourish you and do not promote that oxidation and inflammatory response. The best example, I'm going to write about this in the upcoming book, is Dude Spellings doing the rim-to-rim-to-rim amazing achievement on the Grand Canyon. So running from the south rim down to the bottom, touch the north rim, down to the bottom, back to the south rim. It's about 50 miles with thousands and thousands of feet of climbing. And dude attempted to do this in a full-on ketogenic fasted state throughout. He had to cave in and consume a couple packets of coconut butter or something to inspire his legs to take him out of the canyon and make it back up to the south rim. But what he did at the end was extraordinary. And that was when all his buddies, his fellow runners, were rewarded with a stack of steaming hot pizzas that the support crew went and got them when they finished this 13-hour ordeal. Dude instead elected to go into his tent and crash out and remain in a fasted state for another 10 hours or so overnight, theorizing that as his body was so beat up and trashed from this amazing effort that he wanted to be in the most anti-inflammatory, best cellular repair state possible, which is fasting. And I think this little anecdote, other athletes have experimented with the same stuff, could be a window to the future of athletic performance and recovery, that we are in our best functionality when we're fasted. Therefore, after these tough workouts, perhaps we could try fasting as a legitimate recovery strategy, when we're always socialized to think the opposite, that we got to slam those calories back so we can recover quickly. So when it comes to optimizing carb intake and you want to test and experiment, I personally find that I spontaneously or intuitively find more carbs coming into my diet, into my mouth, in association with difficult workouts. So in the aftermath of my best workouts, my most intense workouts, my carbs will find a way into my mouth without really a concerted effort. So it might be a bowl of popcorn that night, it might be several more squares of dark chocolate over the ensuing days. And it seems to work well for me to just listen to my appetite. And I think we all have that tremendous intuitive ability to know what we need and pay attention to our cravings. But a lot of times those have been washed out and muted and destroyed by the hypersensitivity foods that we've been eating our whole life. So developing that sweet tooth to the point that our palate has been deadened, and that's all that really works for us. When we kind of clean up our diet, clean up our life, then we are more sensitive to how foods really make us feel, what we really need, and what's really the most nourishing and necessary at any particular time. So there you go. That is mission assignment number 3, eat ancestral foods and get those superfoods in your game too. Thanks for listening. Check out bradkearns.com/mofo for more info. And I talked about Liver King's dietary patterns. Learn more at ancestralsupplements.com and click on the About Us page. One of the great messages you will ever find on the internet from Brian, who's the real deal, living the ancestral dream. And oh my gosh, great suggestions for diet practices, lifestyle exercise. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for listening to the show. We would love your feedback at getoveryourselfpodcast@gmail.com. And we would also love if you could leave a rating and a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. I know it's a hassle. You have to go to desktop iTunes, click on the tab that says ratings and reviews, and then click to rate the show anywhere from 5 to 5 stars. And it really helps spread the word so more people can find the show and get over themselves because they need to. Thanks for doing it.